Let's begin today's message. Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38. Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38. Let's read. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melch, the son of Jannai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthathias, and the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthiath, the son of Semain, the son of Joseph, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonan, the son of Letha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melch, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, son of Lev, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliad, the son of Menon, the son of Mathat, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Joseph, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Solomon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amnadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abram, the son of Terah, the son of Noah, the son of Sarah, the son of Ru, the son of Peleg, the son of Ebed, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Alpham, that the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. About a month ago, as I was reading the Bible verse I had just read alone, I felt a quiet but firm impression spreading from the center of my body throughout my I was especially moved by the words of verse 38, and the Son of God. The genealogy of Jesus is well known in the Gospel of Matthew, which was preached by Mr. Himchan last week. But as you just read, there is actually genealogy of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. The genealogy in Matthew's Gospel is very prominent because it sits proudly at the beginning of New Testament. And if you try to look at the Christmas Bible verse, you will see it almost always, at least once a year. But the genealogy in Luke's Gospel is a little less obvious. It is also quietly recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third Gospel from the beginning of the New Testament, with no special explanation, just a list of people's names. I myself have also read the Gospel of Matthew. I have told a lot about genealogy of Matthew's Gospel, but I'm sorry to say that I have never taken the time to think deeply about the genealogy of Luke's Gospel. However, about a month ago, I was reading the Bible while thinking about the nativity of Lord Jesus. This genealogy suddenly came to my mind. In particular, the words of verse 38, "And the Son of God came to me." At that moment, I thought, man is a being that leads to God. Jesus showed us through his own birth that all people are by nature God. In an instant, I was moved as if the piece of a puzzle had fit together to form an amazing picture. When I believed in Jesus 26 years ago, I thought to be caught up in Jesus Christ and to know the true God is not believe in any particular religion, but to know the fact that we as human beings naturally need to know. It ran through my mind once again through the words of this genealogy. Luke, a disciple of Apostle Paul and the doctor with a brilliant mind who wrote this genealogy, want to convey two main messages through this genealogy. The first is that although Jesus Christ was born as a man, he is in fact God. The fact that this genealogy began with the word Jesus in verse 23 and closes with the word and God in verse 38 shows that Luke is trying to convey that Jesus is God. Another message he wants to convey is that all people are by nature God entities. Between beginning with the word Jesus is Jesus and ending with the word God, there are many specific names of people. By placing each of these names of actual people between the words Jesus and God, Luke was trying to show that people are connected to Jesus Christ and that they are by nature connected to God. In verse 36, the name Noah is mentioned that Genesis chapter 9 verse 19 says, "From this man the whole world's people were divided." The name Noah does not appear in genealogy in Matthew's Gospel. However, in the genealogy of Luke's Gospel, the name Noah, the ancestor of all the people of the world, appears. So what did Luke want to convey by including the name Noah in this genealogy? I believe that Luke wanted to convey the message that we are living in a world that has forgotten that all people are originally one and the same, and above all that we are all one and the same, and that we all come from the same God. People originally come from one source, and that source, that origin is God. I want to convey the message that people originally come from God, are connected to God, are one with God and live together with God. That being said, I speak quietly, plainly, with a genealogy, saying that any God created by man should not be God of the gods, the fake God-like idol or man-like thing. To be connected to Jesus Christ is to be connected to God. And one must be connected to Jesus Christ in order to be connected to God. Because it is true that man is by nature a being that lives with the one and the only true God, the Father, who made his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the image of invisible God, to be born as a man, and who can only be known through Jesus Christ. There is no need to decorate with fancy words, no need to put on a show. He speaks the facts as they are, with a straightforward genealogy, without the need to embellish them with fancy words or to put up cool words. As we all experience, we tend to say too many words only when we are lying or feeling guilty or not wanting to show the truth. But the genealogy written by Luke is just telling the facts as they are. I was moved by this quiet but all too graceful narration. I was also moved by the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, who lives within me, would have moved me so that my heart could be moved. Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel have the same title, Gospel. So naturally, the two Gospels have something in common. They both record who Jesus is and what he has done. However, there is one major difference between the two Gospels. The two Gospels, however, have one so they have different audiences. Matthew's Gospel has originally written to Israelite Jew who had an Old Testament background. Therefore, the genealogy of Matthew's Gospel is written in a way that shows the fulfillment of God's promise to the Israelites. As we saw in last week's message, the genealogy begins with Abraham and David, who were important ancestors of the Israelites and developed into the Lord Jesus, who was born from their lineage. Using a river analogy, the genealogy was drawn like water flowing from the upper stream to the lower stream. On the other hand, the genealogy in Luke's Gospel is written in the form of a river, going from downstream to upstream. And let's look at Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought of Joseph, the son of Heli. So why did we have to go back? It is because Luke's Gospel was written to all non-Israelites, that is Gentiles, not to Israelites who, like us, do not have the Bible as their cultural background. People who have not grown up in a Bible-backed culture will not understand what we are talking about when we tell them about the fulfillment of God's promises as written in Bible. As we become Christians and learn more about the Bible, we gradually come to understand the genealogy of Matthew's Gospel. The genealogy to pass on to such Gentiles must go back, not in the form of a fulfillment of a promise. In other words, Luke's gospel answers the greatest question that all human beings have in common, the origin of our own existence. And it is no exaggeration to say that the world is turning to find the answer to this question. It is not too much to say that the world revolves around finding the answer to this question. In this world that seems to know but doesn't, I think this is the way of the world, but I think it is also the way of the world. The truth is always simple. Luke is trying to tell us with powerful truth in this simple list of names that we live like a kite with a broken string, unaware of our location, unaware that the root of all our problems leads to God through the way that Jesus Christ, the truth is the root of all problem, is lying in ignorance of one's location. But here a serious problem looms. Sin, the sin that has made it impossible for us to accept the facts as facts, no matter how we tell the facts, is within us, outside of us, and in our world. The sins we commit, the sins of our existence, and the sins of being in wrong direction are so prevalent within and without us that the fact cannot be accepted as facts by natural-born human being. Let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Born again humans are incapable of understanding. It is we sinners who have become unable to accept and understand the fact that we belong to God as a fact. But the Lord Jesus came to break this inability to accept and understand. The Lord Jesus came to clean up, resolve, and defeat sin, which is biggest and worst root cause of our inability to accept fact as fact. And let's see, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. But after he had considered this, an angel, the Lord, appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus came to save his people from their sins, which they originally were. In other words, the Lord Jesus came to restore the separation from God that had prevented us from being unified with God, from being connected to God, from acknowledging our origins as beings that led to God, and to restore the original humanity to us human beings. Sin is the refusal, ignorance, and unacceptable of being connected to God, and sin committed in thought or action is a symptom. It is not that we are sinners because of sins we commit in our thoughts and actions, but the root of sin is not being connected to God, who cannot help us, help but seen in our thoughts and actions. The symptom that comes out because of the sin of not being connected to God is the sin we commit in thought or actions. For this reason, the Lord Jesus was crucified and born to be crucified in order to clean up all our ignorance, our sins of not knowing and not trying to know. To encounter and believe in Lord Jesus is to be restored to our original humanity, our original human nature created in the form of God, which we cannot know at this time because we are still in the process. Those who have encountered the Lord Jesus will eventually be transformed into their original human nature at the time of Christ's second coming, when they will be remade into glorified body of Jesus Christ. And this life we are living now, it's a process of being allowed to taste that humanity, even if only a little, and being transformed little by little into statue of Christ. Luke left us a genealogy of our origin to God, which is quite simple, but contains a heavy and profound truth. When a person is able to recognize the God as his or her origin, God the Lord, Jesus the Son, and God the Spirit, we have peace of mind. He has a security that no one, nothing, and no teaching can give him. And ultimately, you will be willing to die for God. We will have the joy of knowing that Jesus' words are true. Blessed are you when you are reviled for my sake, when you suffer persecution, when you are heaped with iniquity that are not your own. Why would the Apostle Peter able to realize the breath why Apostle Peter can realize the blessings of dying for God to extent of dying on an upside down cross, saying, I am sorry to be crucified and executed straight as Jesus was. It is because he knows his one origin, because he knows to whom he belongs, to whom he has reached, and ultimately where he is going, death, which should have been the greatest fear for people. It's no longer a factor that robs them of peace of mind. What we end up living in fear of is that we do not know where we are. We are afraid because we don't know where we are. We are afraid of owing them. And we are afraid of being recognized by others. The never-ending desire for approval overflows as if it never stops. Why can't you understand? Cannot you understand what I am doing? What won't you acknowledge my existence, my pain, my hardship. They are angry, judgmental, and competitive. We live our lives using fear as a motivation, relying on someone else's approval. As we get angry, judge, compete, discriminate, fight, pass, give, receive ours, follow, leave, and so on. Of course, since God created us as people, that none of us can live alone, it is indispensable and necessary for us to live while recognizing and loving one another. However, without knowing where and to whom we fundamentally belong, or without a way of life in which we worship the Lord Jesus Christ daily with Word of God, the Bible, prayer, and worship, and from which we seek God's will, we human beings dependent on the need for approval, tossed about, judging others instead of understanding, loving them, relying on others as tools, and depending on others, end up entangled in fear. When I first met and believed in Jesus, I thought, I don't have to live my life making someone else or the world approve of me anymore. I think I felt salvation, and the salvation from the life of making others recognize me, or should I say, I felt it in the depth of my heart, in my inner spirit. I was made aware of God's heart that we do not have to work hard to be the light of the world or salt of the earth, but that we are already the light of the world and salt of the earth as beings that lead to God. And I want to tell people around me, as many people as possible, that you are already the light of the world and the salt of the earth to God. I want you to know God's heart, that your existence is bringing light to the world. And for that reason, I want you to know about the Lord Jesus. The devil and Satan are the one who twist our personalities and sometimes trample us, make us compete with each other, that we must be recognized and acknowledged, make us fight with each other, hurt us, and attack each other's personalities, bodies, minds. They're looking for someone to devour like howling lion. At this Christmas time, let us once again remember the salvation of Lord Jesus, and let us also remember to live out the life we have been given, not living for approval, but with the word, prayer, and worship, seeking the will of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, to God, to save us, you make us remember we need God. Where we belong and what we are, we didn't know. We strayed. But now you make us confirm that we reach God. And you tell us through Jesus' birth, and you we appreciate you touch our souls that we can understand, we reach God. And now we know we belong to you. Thank you. So let us live with the word prayer and worship and seeking the will of God. From not my word, by my word, and because your word. Please let us pray to you and understand to you. Thank you. Our Lord Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.